Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Mike Wilbon is off again, so I am back for a second straight show.
It's that guy again. How does he get in the building? You know, who does he know? Who does he
the
know?
The thing what? About the whispering is that I can hear it. I can hear
really?
All of this. I can hear all of this. I know Tracy is right there, your consigliere, yeah. there for your private thoughts that happen to be broadcast to an audience that is, I think, unrivaled on this network still, maybe, today. So, great.
Tracy's here, and she hears the whispering. I didn't know you could. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon apparently has other priorities, so I'm pleased to be joined by our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. There you go. And we begin today with the New England Patriots, who will play an exhibition game tonight against the Washington football team that, thank God, will be televised and I can watch it. For the second year in a row, quarterback is the focus for the Patriots. Both Cam Newton and first-round draft choice Mac Jones are scheduled to play. Pablo, does it feel like something is at stake for Newton and Jones?
Yeah, it feels like Cam Newton's life as a New England Patriot is on the line here. And I say that, Tony, because this past week I saw a headline that I found incredibly revealing. The headline was simply, Mac Jones good at being yelled at. Like, Mac Jones seemingly is getting yelled at a lot in practice, and he's getting credit for that skill, which I can relate to as someone who shows up on this show and has something similar happen to me every time. But the point is, the New England Patriots have a Patriot way. Mac Jones is living up to the promise of somebody who, yes, likes to have, I don't know, his brow beaten every now and again. If you're Cam Newton, Tony, the deck kind of feels stacked against you if that's how people feel.
Yeah, Cam Newton is definitely a far superior NFL quarterback to Mac Jones. At least he was. Last year, the Cam Newton he saw did not resemble the Cam Newton we had come to watch with great awe. He couldn't throw the ball downfield at all. They had to run the ball a lot with him, and he was a great runner. He ran for 12 touchdowns, but only threw for 8. That's not the offense that we became used to with Tom Brady. That's not really the offense that Bill Belichick wants because it was an unbalanced offense. So I think more is at stake for Cam Newton holding on to this position as the incumbent, and we want to see that. I find myself sort of rooting for Cam Newton because he has been so supportive as a teammate. Everybody talks about that.
Yeah.
Everybody says what a great teammate he's been. This is not Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. He's been apparently supportive of Mac Jones. But I will tell you this. Bill Belichick, his dear friend is Nick Saban. It's hard for me to believe, Pablo, that Nick Saban did not say to Bill Belichick, if you draft this kid, he can win for you. He can step in and win for you. I just don't think you make that draft pick without that conversation. So it seems to me down the road, I don't know when, the emerging character will be Mac Jones.
I agree with you completely. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, that friendship that we don't see from the outside in, I imagine that at the kernel of that is trust. Trust in mutual football evaluations. And the Cam Newton thing, just to put a point on that, the guy has nicknames for, like, everybody on the team. I don't know what else Cam Newton can do as a teammate to engender that kind of love and admiration. But the reality is, Tony, as Aaron Rodgers knows, there is a parallel here. You take a guy in the first round at quarterback, you're going to see him sooner rather than later. And I do feel like Cam Newton, for the reasons you said medically, his time is about up.
Interesting small little factoid.
Yeah.
That these two quarterbacks, Cam Newton and Mac Jones, have won national championships. I think in the rest of the league, that only occurs on one other team, and it occurs in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow, but doesn't really count because Tim Tebow's a tight end now. He's not a quarterback.
Right.
So
That's
I throw
right.
that out to you. Go
well,
ahead.
Dak Prescott, Tony, never won a national title, but when we last left him, he was throwing very softly to Amari Cooper, and the Cowboys seemed encouraged, honestly, about the improvement of his strained shoulder. They tried to maintain that positivity on their Twitter account last night when they posted this, quote, "It's not a setback and it's not a reason to worry, but quarterback Dak Prescott is planning on getting another MRI," end quote. So, Tony, is Dak getting another MRI a big deal, a little deal, or no deal to you?
Okay, let's not fool ourselves. It's not no deal. That's out. It's either a big deal or a little deal. And if they find something on that MRI, it could be a catastrophically big deal. Let us try now to connect the dots. The guy doesn't throw at all for 2 weeks, a real football, does not throw a real football. Yep. Begins to throw a real football on Tuesday, albeit softly, to Amari Cooper. Within 48 hours, he's going to get another MRI. It's just precautionary, they say. It's just procedural. There's nothing to see here, all right? But I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that until I see a panel of doctors at a table saying his shoulder's good, until I see and hear that, I'm going to say it's a big deal.
Yeah, Tony, this is perhaps the least surprising opinion that you've ever had in doing the show with me here, right? Like, the idea that you are actually going to take what might be medically concerning as perhaps maximally concerning, that does seem in line with your general way of seeing the world. And in this case, I do think you happen to be right. You happen to be right because this injury to the shoulder is not a contact injury. It's a thing that developed because he seemed to be really throwing the ball too much after not throwing the ball enough. That's why they brought in all of these counselors from the Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees baseball teams, because this seemed like an overuse pitcher's arm type of thing. And that, to me, is the scariest part. The mileage on the arm is what I'm concerned about now, and that's a new concern from the legs and the ankle and everything else we've seen.
So I love the story because we're going to keep having this story for a long period of time, at least until he plays in a game. He's not playing in this exhibition game. Of course he's not playing. You mentioned the Texas Rangers. They said shut him down. If I'm the Cowboys, am I getting this MRI just so I can tell the Texas Rangers to shut up? Because that's what people do with pitchers. And to bring up Aaron Rodgers again, we don't have to see him in an exhibition game. He was healthy all year, right?
Yes.
He's the MVP. That's got to see Dak Prescott in an exhibition game because he wasn't healthy. I can't imagine him going into game one without any reps at all in an exhibition game. Without any? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, let's move on. And I'll wait for prompter. Oh, I like this story. Baseball is holding its Field of Dreams game tonight, having postponed it last year. You may remember the movie Field of Dreams, where ghostly players walk out of an Iowa cornfield and begin to play baseball. This game between the Yankees and White Sox will be held in Dyersville, Iowa. And indeed, the players will walk out of a cornfield and into a small 8,000-seat stadium. Pablo, does the spectacle of this game grab your attention?
So I don't know if you're a Field of Dreams guy, Tony. I confess that I am not. It is a movie that I think I've seen in the way that I've seen so many movies, which is to say, piecemeal over years, dribs and drabs when it's on randomly. So I don't worship at its altar like that. But I do love the fact that Major League Baseball is the only sport of the big three to four, depending on your definition, that has, like, arenas that change based on location. Ballpark factors are fascinating to me. And so the idea that, you know how they used to have that hill where the Astros played, where they used to run up the thing and there's like a flagpole? The idea that you could have people diving into corn, I'm in on that. I like the idea of people getting lost in corn. So for that reason, yes, I am in.
Okay, so I have seen the movie a couple of times and I will give you a small review of the movie.
Please.
It is good, it is not great. It is schmaltzy, that is not smoltzy, it is schmaltzy. Kevin Costner is in a lot of sports movies. He's in Tin Cup. He's in Bull Durham, which is really a good movie. He's in Draft Day. Sort of Molly's Game as a sports background, Kevin Costner's character does in that particular thing. And he's going to be there tonight. Look, I really like this idea. It's old-timey. It's in a cornfield. We have to like that. And I like the idea mostly for this reason. This is not an exhibition game. This game counts. The players have to give full effort in this game. It's in the standings. This is why I like the NHL Winter Classic, because you can put it outdoors, you can put it in a stadium, you can put it on a pond, but it counts in the standings. That's very important to me, and it's one of the reasons that I appreciate what they're doing in this particular game, and I really do hope it works well.
Yeah, somewhere in that IMDb summary, Tony, you left out sponsorship. I don't know if sponsors were a big part of the movie. That seems to be a big part of the enterprise here, because not only is this interesting and different for the ways that you said, very much like the Winter Classic, it's also a thing you can monetize. And so if this incentivizes baseball to do stuff like this that is different and weird, I lean into weird at this point. Yeah, I want that.
So I like the idea a lot. I think it is baseball understanding that at its core, it is a rural game, not a city game. The literature of baseball is replete with strong kids hitting the cover off the ball, then getting on a train to the big city. So I like what they've done. Let's move on and take a break. But coming up, Shohei Ohtani is back on the mound tonight. He will face Vlad Jr. Who should we expect more from?
And Corbin Burnes tied a major league record with 10 consecutive strikeouts last night, but was Adam Wainwright even more impressive?
Do you go to those corn mazes? Do you take your daughter to the corn mazes and walk her around? Do you do that? Do you like those?
Tony, I have not seen a corn maze in my life. I thought the train you referred to, the big city, was the LIRR. Is that the train we're talking about here? Because that's the only one that I'm familiar with, really, in this region.
You need to go to a corn maze. You need to lose yourself in the essence and aroma of a corn maze. You do.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, but one of them is a substitute host. So let's just mark me down for the win right now, shall we? What's first?
Toss-up. Who do you expect more from tonight, Vlad Jr. or Shohei?
Well, I expect to see Shohei Ohtani much more because he is pitching and hitting, and Vlad Jr. is only hitting. In fact, I would assume that Ohtani will pitch to Vlad Jr. in the first inning. Vlad Jr. is batting 311. He's got 35 home runs, but, and there's always a but, Ohtani has only allowed 4 earned runs in his last 4 starts. Mm-hmm. Ohtani will probably bat 5 times at least because he's batting leadoff now because pitchers pitch around him because he has 38 home runs and you don't want to pitch to him as much as could. Here is the ultimate scenario. Here's what we want. The game is on the line. It's the 7th or the 8th inning. Ohtani is still pitching. Guerrero gets up as either the tying or the winning run. And whoever wins that particular battle gets bragging rights for the foreseeable future. But on the overall scale, Pablo, the season that Ohtani is having is simply amazing.
Yes. No, I mean, I want to go to the overall scale here because there's another wrinkle to that hypothetical that you just gave because maybe, you know, it's not just Shohei versus Vlad Guerrero, pitcher versus hitter. Maybe Shohei then gets back into the lineup in the next inning and ends up taking care of the game that way. Because to me, the ultimate scenario here is the fact that this is the MVP. Shohei Ohtani is the MVP. I understand that we like Vlad Guerrero a lot, but until Vlad Guerrero gets on a pitcher's mound and throws pitches like Shohei Ohtani does, this entire conversation is almost offensive to me. How can it not be Shohei Ohtani when he does that as well?
Next.
Toss up, more impressive pitcher last night, Corbin Burnes or Adam Wainwright?
Okay, so let me give you the backstory. Corbin Burnes at one point struck out 10 consecutive batters, tying a major league record with Aaron Nola and Tom Seaver, and that's it. That's the list. Adam Wainwright pitched a complete game, 2-hit shutout, in which he only threw 88 pitches, which I believe is the fewest amount of pitches so far this year in a complete game. All right. So now, how do I evaluate this? If I look at it, all things considered, I think that Wainwright is probably more impressive because he goes the full game. He has those numbers. He only pitches 88 pitches, and he gets two hits. So he gets as many hits, Pablo, as he allows.
Correct.
But if you think I'm going to downgrade a guy who struck out 10 in a row, who went 8 innings a shutout ball, and who struck out 15 totally, you're crazy. I don't downgrade that. So while I think that Wainwright may be slightly more impressive, Burns is totally more spectacular. Totally.
Yeah, there's another name that I think may tip the scale here, and that name is Bartolo Colon. Because what Adam Wainwright has done is become the oldest pitcher to pull this off. And yes, by the way, it was a Maddux, right? Fewer than 100 pitches to get a shutout. Very impressive. That's the Greg Maddux statistic. The point is, he's the oldest guy to do that since Bartolo Colon at age 42. So the question is, well, how impressive do you find Bartolo Colon? I find him very impressive, but I find Corbin Burns even more impressive because, as you know, Tony, the strikeout is the ultimate symbol of dominance. You didn't accidentally get someone to roll over on a pitch, ground it out, whatever.
Yep.
No,
yep.
These guys all tried to hit you, 10 strikeouts, all swinging. And that, to me, is incredible.
Two small things. They were Cubs. That's a AAA team right now. I don't know if that's a downgrade at all. And Wainwright, yeah, will be 40 years old at the end of the month. That's it. Eat it, Pablo. Let's take one last break. Still to come. Should we believe Urban Meyer when he says he still doesn't know his starting quarterback?
And we'll show you why people are comparing Lakers rookie Shaundre Brown Jr. to Zion Williamson.
At this point, the Cubs and the Nats, they're not major league teams. They're not.
No.
They go out there, they lose all the time. They don't, their roster is.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 50th birthday, Pete Sampras. Sampras won 14 majors, and he dominated the two big ones. He won Wimbledon 7 times and the U.S. Open 5 times. He won the Australian Open twice as well. That's more than Jimmy Connors, more than John McEnroe, more than Jim Courier, more than Andre Agassi. And bunching all those names together should remind us how American men have disappeared from tennis relevance in the last decade. The last American man to win a major was Andy Roddick at the U.S. Open in 2003. He's also the last American to get to the finals of a major, which he did at Wimbledon in 2009. What's happened here? Who is going to be the next Pete Sampras? And how many years will it take to find him? On a personal note, my son and I were playing Bel Air a few years back. He had a pretty big drive, and the caddy said, quote, "You're out there in Sampras territory."
Tony, it's worse than that even, though, because back in May, I believe, there were 0 American men in the top 30 in the world. And so you think, okay, is this a chicken or the egg thing? Do you need a Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi to inspire the next one? And maybe that's so. There are coaching criticisms, but yeah, where is the next overbearing American tennis parent to give us somebody the equivalent of, say, Coco Gauff on the women's side? We need one of those.
We're lost. We're lost in that sport on the men's side. Happy anniversary, Wayne Rooney. Around this day 3 years ago, in the closing seconds of an MLS game, the great and newly coiffed Rooney raced back and stole the ball from an Orlando player who was heading towards an empty DC goal. Rooney dribbled forward and delivered a 40-yard perfect cross to Luciano Acosta, who headed it in for the game winner. It was truly a thing of beauty. Sadly, Rooney left DC United to become a player coach back home in England. That was Rooney's one great highlight in the MLS. A lot of players from around the world have one great highlight in the MLS. Usually they come here when they're almost done to cash a few checks against lesser competition. You'll notice that when Lionel Messi left Barcelona, he signed with Paris Saint-Germain, not the Columbus Crew. The best soccer is still in Europe, as are the best young American players.
Tony, I'm still stuck on the phrase newly coiffed. I love that. Precariously like permed, it. Another way to describe that. Had you ever considered, Tony, spending allegedly £30,000 as Wayne Rooney did on his hair in your own life? Did it ever cross your mind that that was an investment worth making?
It's crossed my mind a lot, but I think I'd even look worse than I do now, which is almost impossible. Happy trails to Sean D. Brown Jr.'s left shoe. I know that I said I would quit this show rather than talk about the NBA Summer League, but this good video. Sean D. Brown Jr. of the Lakers is defending Obi Toppin of the Knicks when Brown's shoe exploded. Doris Burke, doing the call, referred to it as, quote, a blown tire. Brown continued playing on one good shoe until he was called for a foul, and then he went to the bench and he slammed the shoe down in disgust. Now, whenever a shoe explodes, people invariably recall Zion Williamson bursting out of his Nike shoe when Duke played North Carolina. The irony here is that Sean D. Brown Jr. was wearing a Zion 1. That's the signature Zion Williamson shoe made by Jordan Brand. And isn't Jordan Brand part of Nike? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I want to give some free counsel to Sean D. Brown Jr. If your agent has not called up Nike and demanded some sort of raise, some sort of something in exchange for not going on a national tour talking about this specific shoe, someone is failing you in your life, young man. Go get that money for that reason.
They should be throwing shoes at this kid and throwing money at him to wear them. They should. Let's go to the big finish. Urban Meyer says it's still an open competition between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew. Do you believe that?
Tony, if Gardner Minshew starts the season for the Jaguars, I will literally eat this tie on television. The Cubs, meanwhile, have released Jake Arrieta. Does that make sense?
So here are some statistics on Arrieta. He's 5-11 this year. He's got a 6.88 ERA, and he gave up seven earned in the first inning the other day. I mean, he's done. 30-year-old Derek Carr thinks he can play until he's 45. Do you?
As someone who is now older than Derek Carr, I just want to warn him, this stuff can go fast, man. One day you wake up and you're like, okay, I have neck problems. So good luck on that front. Chris Davis now says...
The notion that he would do this... Well, hold on a second. The notion of Derek Carr would sort of compare himself to Tom Brady like this...
That's right.
...subliminally is ridiculous. Go ahead.
Yes, the Derek Carr method, not quite as popular. But Chris Davis has announced officially he's retired from the Orioles. How will you remember him?
He was a great home run hitter. Absolutely great. Then he signed a big deal and he disappeared from view. Under 200 the last 3 years. Overpaid. Last one. Exhibition football tonight. Steelers and Eagles. Are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued by the fact that it's going to be like 95 degrees when this game kicks off. Everybody can now bring in one water bottle. I hope that one bottle of water that fans are allowed is enough for their sake.
Gives me a lot to watch tonight. Football, baseball, happy. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.